minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things green and gold. It is week 18, the final week of the regular season. It's the Packers and the Lions. My name is Mike Wendland, joined back for the first time in a couple of weeks, and good to be back here in 2022, joined as always by Gage Bridgeford and Mark Eklund. Guys, Packers got the one seed, nothing really to play for against Detroit, but a chance to maybe see some injured players return, and there's a lot of different storylines in a game that really doesn't matter in the standings.
Yeah, this is, first of all, it's, I don't know who deserves credit, everybody, the player, the coaching staff, front office, that this Packer team, with all they've gone through this offseason and season, has clinched the number one seed with a week to go. I mean, they're the only team in either conference to have it to have clinched. You know, like Tennessee is in pretty good shape to clinch this, but they still have to beat Houston to do so. For Green Bay to wrap this up and have today against the Lions, to me, it's incredible. It's a great accomplishment for, like I said, everyone involved.
Yeah, it's awesome that we don't have to stress about what's going to happen in this game. We just get to enjoy it. And while other teams are sitting there stressing out around the league, we're just like, yep, no, it doesn't matter what happens. Do we want Green Bay to win? Sure, because we always want our team to win. But at the same time, it's not the end of the world if they don't. They've done the work. They put themselves in the position. And I don't want to hear anybody say, oh, well, they had an easy schedule. I don't care. You play the teams on your schedule. At the end of the day, that's what matters. Doesn't matter easy if the division is terrible. Yeah, no, people are knocking Green Bay for, oh, well, your division's easy because you have two coaches that are going to be fired this week, and Zimmer and Nagy, and your division's awful and this and that. And they've gotten lucky and they've only played a couple of playoff teams. I don't care. In the NFL, all 32 teams have to play the team on their schedule. Green Bay played the teams.
They played the NFC West, which is everyone says is the best division in football, and they swept it.
I agree. I don't disagree with you, Mark. I'm just telling you what I've heard from people in the last.
You got to stop listening to those people.
Yeah, you know what? I sure would like to. They do need help. That's for sure. But yeah, no. Green Bay locked up the one seed, played the toughest division in football, and played the AFC West, which is another division that could send three teams to the playoffs, depending on. No, the AFC. Oh, didn't they play?
It was the North. Well, they played the
Chiefs.
For some
reason, I felt like they played the AFC West last year. Okay, so they played the Chiefs and nearly knocked off the Chiefs, who everyone has as one of the Super Bowl favorites this year, and probably would have beat them if they had Rodgers.
And beat the Bengals, who have been the number three seed right now, and is a very good team.
Yeah. So just Green Bay has played
the Steelers, who, if the Packers didn't beat them, would be in the playoffs, would be in one of the top six seeds in the AFC if the Packers didn't beat them.
Yeah, so for the people that say that Green Bay playing needs schedule, I don't know what those people are seeing, but Green Bay playing for schedule, they won. They played the schedule, they won, they did their job, and now they get to enjoy it by playing a game against Detroit that I know we were talking before the podcast started. We have no idea how this game is going to go, and it's going to be impossible to predict.
I wouldn't bet this game.
No, there's a reason why the line is only 3.5 for a Packers-Lions game. It's because no one knows what's going to happen. And I'm not sure if there is even a first half line, so who even knows? But that's what we're going to talk a lot about today, is going to be debating on how long are some of these guys going to play? Are they going to play? The injured guys returning, what are they going to do? There's a lot to kind of break down in this one as far as getting guys ready for the playoffs. Obviously, David Bakhtiari is off injury reserve. He's been practicing off and on this week. Josh Myers is coming back. Dre Alexander is back, but because he was gone all week, he's not going to play this week. Kingsley Keke is out, but hopefully they're getting him back in a couple of weeks. Randall Cobb, same thing in a couple of weeks. Like, there's getting healthy at the right time is always a big part of any Super Bowl team, and it looks like the Packers may be finally starting to get healthy, which is something I didn't know was going to happen this year.
Yeah, I know. Mark and I talked about it a few weeks ago where Mark was saying, I don't know if we're going to see D-Bock this year. I don't know if we're going to see Jair or if we're going to see Z. I know we had that back and forth, and you know, you're right. We still haven't seen D-Bock yet. We don't know if we haven't seen any of them yet. But LaFleur said that Jair, if it had been a normal week of practice, he probably would have been out there. Bakhtiari, if this game, I think if this game was a playoff game, I think he's playing tomorrow or today, I should say. I think that if it's a playoff game, I think he is out there unless like he has something go wrong in pregame where he just like tweaks something. I think he's out there. I think that that's where he's at. I know that they're playing it very cautious because they know how important he is to this team and how important he is to having him healthy for the playoff run. And so, but I think that he was a full participant on Friday. They've been working him up real slow for the last several weeks, really trying to make sure he's 100% or as close to 100% as they can get him. And considering how beat up this team was earlier this year, the fact that they are the semblance of, like, they're starting to resemble a healthy team now is just, it's bananas to me. Like, they're going to be without, but Elton, Tonyan. But I'm trying to think of, like, guys that are guaranteed not coming back.
Whitney Mercilus.
Merciless. Well, I'm talking opening day starters, though, is more what I was getting at. Like, compared to, like, a team like Baltimore, which is missing, like, everybody. The Titans, who have lost, who have played more players than any other team ever has. Green Bay is finally starting to get healthy. And what I always say, the teams that win championships are the ones that get healthy at the right time, and they're playing their best football at the right time. Green Bay ran it up on Minnesota last week. They're getting healthy at the right time. They're putting all the right stuff. They're reading the recipe book exactly to the letter right now.
So that being said, let's look at then this Detroit matchup. And you say you want to be playing your best football at the right time. Does that mean, do you play your starters for a quarter, for a half in this game? Do you play Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon for the first half to get them, just to keep them dialed in? Because they're going to be off most of next week. They're probably not going to practice till Friday. And do you get them some reps and maybe get off to, maybe try and get off to a good start for once in a game in the first quarter, to get them ready for a playoff run against what's going to be a clearly better team than Detroit in 2 weeks?
Well, you know, I actually did a story for Packer Report this week on the last time the Packers were in this situation was 2011. They actually clinched the number one seed with like 3 weeks to go. They started off 13-0 that year. So, with 3 weeks left in the season, they had everything wrapped up. Now they were 13-0, and they were playing for an undefeated season. So then they lost to Kansas City. And then they played the Bears on Christmas, and everybody played, and they won. So they got to 14-1. Then ironically, they played the Lions the last game of that season as well, and that's the game that Rodgers did not play. That was the Matt Flynn game. Where Flynn went out and threw 6 touchdown passes, and they beat the Lions 45-41. And anyone with any kind of a nagging injury, and the list was pretty impressive of guys that did not play. Clay Matthews didn't play. Charles Woodson didn't play. Greg Jennings didn't play. Brian Bulaga didn't play. And there's a couple more. Let's see if I still have my list here. Woodson, Clay, Jennings, Bulaga, James Starks didn't play, and Randall Cobb was only a rookie, but he didn't play either. But enough other guys did play. Jordy Nelson played, and James Jones played, and Jermichael Finley played, and they all caught touchdown passes from Matt Flynn. Also, ironically enough, in that game, left tackle Chad Clifton had been out since October with a hamstring injury, and he did come back and played the first quarter of that game just to get his feet wet again. And then he came out, and then I believe he did start in the playoffs. Now, you can look at that game a couple of ways, in that from Matt Flynn's standpoint, it made him a star for a day and helped him get a nice contract from the Seattle Seahawks as a free agent a couple months later. But the Packers lost in the first round or the second round that year after a bye. That's the year they were, as a number one seed, they got knocked off by the Giants at home. So you can look at that. I mean, it's an argument that will never be, there's no right answer to whether you should play the guys or don't play the guys. And I'm sure you can look up through the history of teams that rested guys and did well, and teams that rested guys and lost. And I wouldn't play Rodgers only because of the toe. You know, what the last thing they need is some Lion player stepping on his toe or doing something that could aggravate that and make it worse. I mean, and again, anybody else, it's a tough call. I like to side on the side of caution. Now, you know, I saw Davante Adams' quote about if you're scared, go to church. But I just don't. The last thing the Packers need, I remember covering an Eagles team one year where the last game, it wasn't total meaningless, but they were pretty much locked into a wild card spot. And they played everybody. And their starting center, David Alexander, and Jerome Brown, their great defensive tackle, both got hurt in that game. And they both, Alexander missed the playoff game the following week against Washington. Jerome played but wasn't himself. He had hurt his shoulder. He basically played with one arm and wasn't effective, and they lost the game. And going back, everybody said, well, if you didn't play those guys in that game, they, you know, against a meaningless game against Arizona, it wouldn't, you know. So, again, and you can look at things every way. It looks like the Packers are going to play guys probably, what do you think, a quarter to a half?
That's what I'm thinking. I wouldn't play. I'm a little more, I guess, aggressive would be the word than you are. I think that getting them out there and keeping them at least in rhythm is worth doing so, because I think that there are, I think for one, like Rodgers' toe is messed up. I mean, unless like the only way it's going to get worse is if he somehow like just gets it ripped off, basically, because it's broken, isn't it? It's already broken, and just now it's just a pain tolerance thing, more or less.
It's fractured, so, but he says it might be. He says it's almost 100% now. He says it's pretty much healed, and he's because he's practicing on it now.
So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I would rather I want him to go out there. I want him to play because I think he can, because I think that he's smart enough to keep himself out of danger. If you have any instance where like a guy falls close to his foot, you know what? Maybe you just go ahead and you pull in there. But I think that I want to keep Rodgers and the first string offense out there for maybe one or two series, especially like if they come out hot on the first two series and they dice up the Lions defense, they go down, they score twice, even if they only score 10, I'm okay with that and just pull them there. You could be like, look, we got through these two drives, nobody's hurt, we put up some quick points, you guys are good, let's give you a week and a half off. That's why we got this bye in the first place. You're not gonna have a full 2 weeks off in terms of resting because you did get to play a little bit today. And especially if Bakhtiari does play, I would love to have him out there with Rodgers just so they can be, so you have Bakhtiari protecting Rodgers and really getting into the flow of things. I don't think he necessarily needs it because they, both those guys have been around for a long time. They've been teammates for a long time. They train together in the offseason. Bakhtiari knows Rodgers and how he plays and how he moves and whatnot, but still just getting him out there, getting him in the rhythm again. I want to keep the offense humming because we've talked about it before and you and Mike mentioned it a little bit ago. Green Bay starts slow. They've had a bunch of slow starts in the first quarter. I know Dari Gallagher, I'm not sure how to say his name, and I don't want to say it incorrectly. He pointed out over the last couple of weeks that Green Bay is like 26th in first quarter points, but they're like number one in second quarter points because they start slow. They have all year. They have a bunch of drives that end at the end of the first quarter because they take really long ones, and then they've scored in the first 30 seconds of the second quarter. But Green Bay's offense, if they can come out fast and get points on the board, get a couple of good drives under their belt, pull them, let the backups and go in, let Jordan Love get a lot of work. I just don't want Green Bay to go and say, you know what, we're just going to take the full week off. And then in 2 weeks, the offense comes out and just lays an egg in the first half and has to storm back. I don't want to see that happen.
I'm with you. And I think you play him a quarter, maybe a third drive if it goes late into the second, depending on like the time of possession, stuff like that. But with David Bakhtiari, I think more it's not of him playing with Rodgers, it's him playing with Runyon. He had Jenkins with next to him all last year at left guard. Now Runyon's at left guard. You got to adjust how Runyon's footwork is going to be, how wide is his stance when he gets out of there. Because the last thing you want is your tackle coming off a reconstructed knee, stepping on his guard's foot and rolling an ankle or even re-injuring the knee. So I think that's more important for Bakhtiari than playing with Rodgers. So you could even play him with Jordan Love, and I think that would be as equal of a thing. The other question, though, is Aaron Jones is questionable. Do you think they play him in this one with his knee, or do you roll with Dylan and Patrick Taylor and give Jones that extra week? Because unlike some of these guys, he is banged up, and we saw that at the end of the Minnesota game where he limped off. Like, I think Jones probably doesn't play, but other guys, I think they're healthy. I mean, Davante Adams has talked about how he wants to break Jordy Nelson's record. If he has 70 yards, he breaks Sterling Sharp's career record for yards and jumps, I think, to second or third all time in Packers history in receiving yards. So there's like some incentive stuff there, but I think they probably play a quarter, I would say probably three series and done. But the injured guys who are on the injury report, I think they probably don't play.
I agree. Yeah, Aaron Jones, I wouldn't even dress him. No, I mean, like you said, he has a knee. Last thing you need is for him to aggravate that in a game for no reason. And again, I would play Dylan, like you said, maybe a quarter, a little more. This is a perfect game for Patrick Taylor to get a lot of work and see what you have in a guy for next year. I mean, this is a great game for the front office to look at some guys that are going to be on that. I mean, the Packers have very important things to look forward to this year, which is trying to get to the Super Bowl and win it. But you always are looking ahead. So a guy like Patrick Taylor, some of the backups, some of the young guys on defense, John Charles, a corner. This is a great opportunity for a young guy, a McDuffie at linebacker, to get, you know, real NFL game time, not preseason, but game time experience against an NFL team, you know, against other teams, like, you know, starters, to see what they have and what they don't have. And, you know, are they going to be, because let's be honest, next year's Packer roster is going to look different. A lot of guys aren't going to be here because of salary cap issues and whatever else. These young guys don't make any money, so they're not in danger of, you know, being cut for salary cap, but they have to, you know, they could be important cogs in the team next year, key backups if nothing else. So let's see a Patrick Taylor. Let's see some of these wide receivers, Juwan Winfrey. I'm sure he'll be out there a lot, you know, when Adams and Lazard come out. Let's see Winfrey. Let's see Amari Rodgers. Let's get him a lot of playing time today.
I'm with you. And I think the other thing to talk about as well, because we talked about David Bakhtiari, Josh Myers, who no one knew anything about what his injury was or how his recovery was, and now he's back. It kind of came out of left field when Matt LaFleur announced it. So what do you do with him? Do you put him right back in at center? Do you ease him in and keep Patrick at center? Like, what? I guess depending on how Myers looks, what do you do in the playoffs then with these guys? Because Patrick has been fine at center. He's done a good job with the line calls. He's been kind of a glue guy for this makeshift line. So it's a good problem to have, but what do you do with Myers now? Because they drafted him in the second round to be the center for now and the future. It's just, what do you do?
I mean, I kind of mentioned this before we got started, that I think you go with the put your best guys out there approach. Lucas Patrick obviously started all 16 games last year at right guard. He has the versatility to play either spot. We've had questions about Royce Newman this year, no matter what Chris Collinsworth tries to say on Sunday Night Football. We've had John Runyon Jr. has played very well at left guard. He's, for a guy playing when coming into the year, we were like, yep, nope, he's a backup. We're good there because he's a solid backup across the interior. Josh Myers, like you said, drafted in the second round to be the center of now and future, and started the year strong, just kind of like had miscues here and there like any other rookie does. But other than that, played well for the most part. Now you have a opportunity where you have to figure out what to do. And I say you just put Myers in the rotation. And if Myers wins the center spot, great. If he and you're like, okay, well, we want to keep Lucas Patrick out there, have Lucas compete against Royce Newman and against John Runyon Jr. Put your best guys out there at the end of the day, because like at the tackle spots, it's a little different. Like, obviously, we see guys that just can't necessarily swing to the right side. My prime example of this, Penei Sewell. Guy started the year right tackle, looked terrible. So kicked him over to the left tackle spot, and he's looked great. Why? Because he's a left tackle. On the interior, guys can't necessarily always swing between the three spots, but we've seen with Elgton Jenkins, he could play all five spots. Lucas Patrick has played guard and center. Give these guys, just put your best guys out there. And as long as you're not going to risk anything with the issue of chemistry, like if it's a matter of the five that we have on the field now, they're grooving, we don't want to mess it up, and putting Myers back in there is going to really throw that off, then yeah, maybe you just keep him in like as the backup center and just say, look, it's just what we're rolling with right now. But I just say you give Myers a shot to play one of the spots and just roll with whoever the best three guys are, because at the end of the day, it's all about having your best guys on the field. And if you can get them all on the field at the same time where they're working well together, that's at the end of the day, that matters.
Well, here's a question for you. What do you What do you do with Yosh Niemann? You know about your best guys. He's been pretty darn good. Do you move him to right tackle? Do you leave? Do you just? I mean, what do you do with
him? Unfortunately, I think you got to kick him back to the bench. I mean, unless Billy Turner, Billy Turner's not back, but
what if Turner's not back?
I keep Kelly at right tackle.
Then
or later today. What do you do today? If Bakhtiari starts at left tackle today, is Niemann your right tackle or is he not playing?
You give him the shot to beat it. Like if he can beat out Dennis Kelly at right tackle, then put him at right tackle. Again, just put your best. Just compete. Cream rise.
No, but I'm saying top. Opening snap, first quarter, Packers get the ball. Who's that? Give me your starting offensive line today.
I mean,
you're in charge. Give me your offensive line.
Well, is D-Bock active?
Yes.
Okay, so D-Bock at left tackle. I'm leaving John Runyon Jr. at left guard because I like him there. I am probably putting Lucas Patrick at right guard and putting Josh Myers back at center, and I'll give Yosh the chance at right tackle, but Dennis Kelly I think has played well at right tackle. I like him over there. I think that he plays well. I don't know how Yosh would translate to the other side. If he can translate well, then yeah, put him out there, because yeah, I think he's been an objectively better player like at his position than Kelly has. But at the same time, if he can, like, that transition can be hard because you're kicking the complete opposite direction. Like your drop step has to be completely different. It's a completely different angle for guys to play. And there's a reason the guys struggle with that transition from time. Like there's a reason not everybody does it. If Yosh can make that transition and he looks good over there, I'm all about putting him out there. But I, like, as a person that has not seen him play at right tackle or cannot recall seeing play right tackle, if he's not going to be effective over there, I'm not going to force him in there just from the standpoint of, oh, well, he's better than Dennis Kelly, in my opinion, put him out there. I need to see him play at that spot before I can just 100% say, yep, lock him into right tackle.
Yeah, I'm kind of the opposite. I would move Yosh to the bench. I think he is a, like you talk about Penny Sewell, I think Yosh is a left tackle. He was in college.
Coming into the draft,
he was seen as basically a left tackle only type prospect with his, because he's long and lean and crazy athletic. And usually those guys are going to be your left tackles. And Kelly has been very good at right tackle since he came in. And plus he's been a right tackle for most of his career. I think you keep him at right tackle until Turner is ready to come back. I would go Bakhtiari, Runyon, Myers. I would keep Niemann out there. He's been getting better and better, and that we have Patrick as that versatile guy where if one of them goes down, you got Patrick coming in. And also, just in case something were to happen with Myers, if you were to re-aggravate, then you can put Patrick right back at center, plug him back in, and then I'd keep Kelly at right tackle. But then you had to have Patrick, you have Niemann, you have Braden, you have Hansen, who will get some snaps at center as well. You have plenty of depth on that line, especially now if those two guys are back. And that's even not even having Billy Turner. So I think you keep the guys in their spots, but then just move them down the depth chart a peg. So Niemann will be the backup left tackle, Patrick the backup center, and you go from there. I think those are how you handle your best five situation. But let's talk about Detroit a little bit, because we're doing technically a game preview. Detroit looks like they're getting Jared Goff back, and there was a question posed by the fan in Green Bay, the radio station, is which one. It was name a random Lions player from the past, and then also which player are you more nervous about on Sunday, whether it's they'll have a big game or whether they can cause an issue for the Packers, whether maybe creating an injury or things like that. Are there any players that make you nervous about how they might play in this game that could cause issues for the Packers getting ready for the playoffs?
No word, no. I'm not worried about this. This is a game. I don't know if they're taking off. I'm taking off. This is one game where my blood pressure is going to stay 120 over 80 the whole way. I'm not going to get nervous. I'm not going to sweat. Nothing worries me about this. Nothing. Nobody on the Lions worries me. The Packers worry. That's it. Just don't get anybody. Don't do something stupid. That's all. Don't get the guys out. Like Gates said, go down, score your first two drives. Even if it's 10-0, that's fine. Come out, high five. Adams breaks the record. Hey, way to go, Devontae. And let's see Jordan Love. I want to watch a little bit of Jordan Love for three quarters.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm okay with Green Bay losing this game.
Who cares?
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. This game has absolutely zero meaning for Green Bay if win or lose. Detroit has played tough, hard all year. They are like, I think that Dan Campbell is perfect for this Lions team and for because I think he's a great culture coach, as we've seen all year long. The guy cares about winning. He just wants to see his guys get better, and he wants to see them improve, and that's what they've been doing this year. They've been tough. They've been a tough out all year. I mean, we saw it back when Green Bay played him earlier in the season that for the first half they were leading. It was what, wasn't it 17-14 heading into halftime? Yeah. So they're a tough team, and if they win the game, good for them. If Green Bay wins the game because Jordan Love goes out and plays well after Rodgers has exited the game, great. But there's no reason to risk extensive amounts of injury. And if Green Bay, like I said, like Mark said, let's go see Jordan Love for three quarters. Let's have Devontae break the record and just call it a day, because that's all you really need to do here. There's no incentive for you to. I look at this game kind of like week three of the preseason. Like, you're going to go out there, you're going to get your starters a couple drives, get them some reps, get them out there, and then just go let the backups and the future guys for this team get some meaningful reps, because normally in the preseason, the guys aren't getting reps against legit NFL talents. And that's what Green Bay's backups can get this week against guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown has been good this year. I think DeAndre Swift is going to play again this week, even though he probably shouldn't because he's been banged up each of his first two seasons. Don't run your starting running back into the ground. Your Jared Goff is, for all of his warts, a NFL starting quarterback. This is the perfect game because you're getting live game reps at game speed. It's going to be played like a real game because at the end of the day it is, but it's ultimately a preseason game because winning and losing doesn't matter. So I'm all about Green Bay. Go out, get your drives in, and then go take a break, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm with you. So I just want to make sure that no one can step on a foot or something like that. Talk about Rodgers too. You know, I don't want Michael Brockers coming through and stepping on his foot, things like that.
Well, that can happen no matter what. We've had Green Bay linemen step on Rodgers' foot. That
happens more than that.
You can walk around at your job, at your day job, and get your foot stepped on just because somebody didn't see you coming around the corner. So in the game like the NFL, which like Devontae said, if you're worried about getting hurt, go to church, whatever. At the end of the day, guys can get hurt going through a walkthrough. I know there was Teddy Bridgewater's entire career changed during a training camp practice. That's how easy it is for these things to happen, for guys to get hurt and things to change like that. So I am okay with Green Bay playing a couple of quarters. It's not like they're going up against a team of guys who are just all out there to try and hurt them. No one in the NFL really, I think, wants to ever hurt anybody. I think they just a lot of times just. I was going to brush past it, but yes, besides Ndamukong Suh, most of the time these guys all know they're all professionals. They're all just out there trying to make a living, and they're not no one's ever trying to intentionally hurt and harm anybody. So I'm not concerned about Green Bay in that way.
Let me ask I'm going to hate myself for asking this because I don't like hypotheticals. But let's say the Packers weren't playing the Lions this week, or they were playing the Lions, whoever they were playing. Let's say the team they were playing was like the Saints. They need a win to get in, whereas if the Packers beat them, they're out. Would that affect your decisions at all? Do you believe in the integrity of the game that you should try to help the other team? Whatever, you know what I'm saying?
I don't believe in the integrity of the game. I think the whole unwritten rules thing in sports is stupid. I always have. I played baseball for 13 years, and I've always thought the unwritten rules thing was nonsense. I think the idea that a guy can smoke a grand slam over the wall in the eighth inning already up by 10 runs and people get mad at him, I think you're stupid. Because if I pitch to you, are you not trying to also hit home runs and trying to make your team come back? Because that's the agreement we're making here. If Green Bay doesn't need to win, there's no we'll let them win to let them get in the playoffs. Who cares? At the end of the day.
Took a lot of heat for that last year when they sat down against Washington.
Yeah, because old school football guys are stupid and they need to quit telling people to get off their lawn. Mind your business. If the coaches don't want to play their team the entire game, they don't have to. I guarantee LaFleur is going to get blasted because Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams are playing at all. I guarantee it. And especially if Aaron Rodgers takes a sack. If Rodgers at any point gets sacked or gets hit once, LaFleur will get absolutely blasted for allowing his players to play, and I don't care. Because at the end of the day, I trust LaFleur and the players to put themselves in the best position to make plays, not get hurt, and come out with a good game.
So you're saying if the Lions needed this game, They were 9-7 right now, and they needed this. A win for the Lions would put them in the playoffs, whereas a loss would eliminate them. You would still do the same thing: play Rodgers a quarter, play Adams a quarter, and get him out. And
sure, because it doesn't affect Green Bay at all. Basically, the only way I would do that is if you were playing a team where you're like, huh, if we match up in the playoffs, they could absolutely beat us. Then maybe I'm going to be a little more aggressive. But if it's a team like this, just any XYZ team, I don't really care. It's just at the end of the day,
Bears, I remember, what was it, 2018, where the Bears beat the Vikings. The Bears were locked in, and the Vikings needed to win to get in. And the Bears beat the Vikings, knocked them out of the playoffs, and allowed the Eagles to make the playoffs. And then the Eagles beat the Bears in the first round. Eagles said, thank you, Bears, by beating them in the first round of the playoffs.
Do you think the Falcons are going to lay down to play the Saints today?
No.
Boom. There you go. That game has zero meaning to the Falcons.
So that's what I'm saying. The Falcons are going to play Matt Ryan four quarters and try to win.
Yeah, but I think the difference is there. It's like it's a direct rivalry game. So well, granted, this is all a hypothetical thing. It's just
– Right. Well, Falcons-Saints isn't hypothetical. That's a real game. And I think the Falcons are going to play the Falcons are going to want to spoil the Saints season.
I think it's different. Like I think if it was San Francisco, it'd be a little different because they worry. I think they would worry a team like the Packers more than the Saints. I don't think Taysom Hill's winning a playoff game. So I think it depends on the matchup.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's very matchup dependent.
Well, I was saying if the Lions were a 9-7 team that was on the borderline of making the playoffs.
If you were actually worried about them in the playoffs, then maybe.
Then you knock them out.
But if you're Green Bay, are there any teams outside of the top four who you are really truly worried about in the playoffs?
I'm not even worried about teams in the top four. The only team that can beat the Packers is the Packers.
Yeah, I mean just kind of in general, like
they're better than the Rams, they're better than the Cardinals, they're better than the Cowboys, they're better than the Tampa Bay right now. They're better than all those teams, in my opinion. But I thought that last year too. And then they lost to Tampa Bay because they gave up a bomb at the end of the first quarter, and Aaron Jones put the ball on the ground at the beginning of the third quarter, and that was the game.
I know. So I guess the last thing before we wrap things up, let's look at some of the other games that do matter for playoff implications. A lot of them will be in that 3 o'clock game, so what can Packers fans watch? Obviously, the big ones are Saints-Falcons because the Saints need a win, and 49ers-Rams. Rams win the division with a win. Niners have to win they need to win if New Orleans wins to stay in the playoffs. Niners have been in that sixth spot almost the entire second half of the season. Which game do Packers fans need to pay attention to getting ready for potential playoff matchups in 2 weeks? Are there any of those late games that they have to keep an eye on?
Well, yeah, I would say the Rams-Niners game is the one, I think, more than any other. Like you said, the Niners, that's a heck of a game, too. I don't even know who I think is going to win that game. That's the Rams need it because right now, if the Rams win, they're the two seed. And the two seed is that people don't understand. It's very good to be the two seed because you're guaranteed two home games and maybe a third if the one seed were to get knocked off. So you're two is way better than three because three, you got to go on the road to two. If form holds, you know, the Rams would be home against Tampa Bay instead of having to go to Tampa Bay. So you really want to be the two seed. Whereas if the Rams lose that game, not only will they not be the two seed, but if Arizona beats Seattle, which they're favored to do, the Rams would drop all the way to the five seed. Now they're on the road the entire playoffs. So that's a huge game for the Rams, but it's just as big for bigger for San Francisco because if they lose and the Saints beat the Falcons, they're out. Like you said, they've been in that spot all year. Now they would be the odd team out because of a tiebreaker with the Saints and Eagles. Even though they beat the Eagles, they would be out because of a three-way tie. They would have the worst conference record. So that's a huge game.
The worst part about that for San Francisco is the fact that they beat Philly head-to-head too.
Yeah.
Like that.
Saints should be the team out. If I was in charge, I would say the Niners beat the Eagles beat the Saints, Saints you're out.
The Saints didn't play head-to-head. What is it? Is it conference record? Is that
conference record? Because the Saints didn't play the Niners. So
okay, so it's yeah.
Conference, and the Eagles have the best conference record, and the Niners would have the worst conference record.
Well, the Eagles also, if they win, they'll be the Eagles will be 10-7. So
like
Eagles,
win, yeah.
Yeah, they have to play what? They're playing Washington?
No, Dallas.
Oh, they're playing Dallas. Oh. Okay.
But and Dallas plays the Eagles play Saturday night.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I just there is that 4 o'clock slate is loaded with games. Obviously a lot I think a lot of them are like AFC and don't have a ton of bearing on like Green Bay and whatnot, but like that Rams game is that is the one that I will have my eyes locked on for the 4:30 slate. I will have like my eyes on other games for betting purposes, but that Rams 49ers game is obviously the game of that's the game of the week in terms of the non-night game.
Well, I want to watch Tampa Bay just to see if anybody else takes their shirt off and leaves in the middle of the game again. Just you never know what's been Tampa Bay.
That was the most wild thing. And it's we're like less than a week into January. We're less than 2 weeks into January, and we've already had the most wild thing that we might see like all year. This story is, but that story is bananas and just continues to get
it's crazy.
Continues to change. Yeah, no, real quick, who do we want Green Bay to play in the first round of their playoffs? Like obviously we don't know the full teams yet, but
the Giants. Oh, they're not in the playoffs.
No, oh, yeah, thanks, Marcus. Thanks.
They don't want to play for Joe Judge.
I'll call up Dave Gettleman and say, hey, we need you in the playoffs.
I want the Giants, the Panthers, and but that'll be enough. That'll get me to the Super Bowl, right?
That'll get you two routes, and then we'll get the Jets in the Super Bowl for you.
There you go. I was thinking Jaguars, but I'll take the Jets too.
Yeah, no, Jaguars definitely not the ones.
No, who do we want them in the first round?
Yeah, like obviously you can say the whole like, oh well, I don't want to play like this team or that team. Like who do we want to match up with of like a legitimate team that's going to make the playoffs?
Probably the Saints.
Card. Honestly, I don't think the Saints. I'm not sure the Saints are going to make.
Yeah, if it's.
I think the Saints because I think Trey Lance is playing today for San Francisco, and I love Trey Lance, but he is not ready yet because Kyle Shanahan refuses to change his offense to fit him. And I think that the Rams can do enough, especially with against a 49ers secondary that is missing basically everybody. I think earlier this week they had six defensive backs on the COVID-19 list. And I think while one or two of them may come off, I don't think they're getting all of them back. And the ones they had were already not good. Cooper Kupp is within a couple of different milestones that he can easily achieve this week. He needs to hit like the all-time receiving record. And like a receiving record, he needs
yards.
I think he needs like 200 or he needs 12 catches for 136 yards and 171 yards for 2K. I think that both of those are achievable. Cooper Kupp is not going to be stopped. I think that if you can bet all of his overs today, I'm doing that because he's going to have a humongous day. And I think the Saints can beat the Falcons. And so Saints beating the Falcons, you have the Saints now in. And then I would love for the Saints to match up with the Bucks in the first round.
That's who they would play.
That would be
so great.
If what you're saying comes through, then the Saints would be the 7 seed and the Rams. No, the Rams would be the 2 seed because you have the Rams winning. So it would be Saints, Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rams hold the title.
And it would be Philly, Tampa.
The Saints, but yeah, the Rams, the Saints aren't being Rams, right?
Probably not.
You don't think the Saints, nobody thinks the Saints can beat the Rams.
Unless the Rams' offensive line collapses.
Saints can't score enough to beat the Rams. No.
But they couldn't score enough to beat the Bucks, and then they beat them 9-0.
Yeah,
I think it's more like the main reason I would be okay with the Saints playing the Rams is even if they don't beat them, I think that they dogfight the hell out of them for 4 quarters.
Okay.
And then you just had like Sean Payton I think Sean Payton goes head to head with Sean McVay. And for all of the talent that Sean McVay is mentally as a football coach, Sean Payton, it can absolutely go toe to toe with them that entire time.
But realistically, the Packers are going to play the winner of the Cardinals Cowboys.
Yeah. And I would rather play the Cardinals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Me too.
Even with the possibility that J.J. Watt comes back.
Yeah, bring J.J. Watt doesn't scare me.
Well, I'm just saying because like their defense has gone out.
DeAndre Hopkins isn't coming back, so I'm more happy that DeAndre Hopkins wouldn't be in the game than J.J. Watt in the game. And Kyler Murray he's an extreme talent, but playoffs are a different level for a young quarterback. A warm weather team. I know it didn't work last year with Tampa Bay, but a team from Arizona coming to Green Bay in the middle of January probably doesn't sit well.
This is a guy in Murray who played in the South his entire career in college too, played in the Big 12 and the SEC.
Right.
And also they're a dome team, like Tampa was at least like played outside.
Right.
Fair enough. So
I would take my chance
for sure. So we've been going for about 40 minutes. This is just for fun. Let's make a quick prediction and then we'll start to wrap things up. So I think the line is Packers by 3.5. Again, don't bet this game.
as of recording right now, it's actually, it's 3 in most spots or like in sharp books. But yeah, a lot of public books have 3.5.
So I think we're saying don't bet this game, but we can at least predict it. Gage, what are you thinking?
I think that Jordan Love is really good. I think that he can move the ball against this defense because this defense in this environment is a much different one than the Chiefs on the road.
2 days of practice.
On limited time. Because I bet that he's been getting some work this week, knowing full well that he's probably going to be in the lineup at some point during the game. And I think that he can have a really good day here. I think that Green Bay wins the game because for all of the tough and grit that the Lions are, I still don't think that they're that good. I think that Green Bay wins the game. 27-17.
I'm going to go Green Bay as well, just because I think they'll get out to a nice start, like Gage was saying, and then you get the starters out. Love will go out. I think Love will play well also. I don't think he's going to be Matt Flynn and throw 6 touchdown passes, but I think he won't hurt the team. He'll score enough. The Packers will have the lead. They'll hold on to it. I see like 24-20.
I think Green Bay wins as well, and I think they win fairly comfortably. I think Jordan – I'm with you guys on Jordan Love. I think he's going to play solid. I think Patrick Taylor is going to look pretty good. And I think the defense will get after Goff a little bit. So I'm going to go 31-20. I think they're going to take it. And it's going to be one of those – there's going to be some really bizarre touchdowns in this game. So I think they're going to take care of business, get to 14, have some confidence and a really good vibe heading into the bye week, and then we'll get some of these guys back. We'll see good things from Bakhtiari and Myers. Hopefully get Jair Alexander back, and we can talk about that next week and what they do with him when he's back. How they handle the secondary. But as we wrap things up, Mark, where can people find you?
I have a story up. You can find me on Twitter at MarkEckel08, and then I have a story up right after the game on Packer Report on my instant analysis of whatever does happen in today's game. It'll be up shortly after the game's over. Check it out there. And then as the week goes on, we'll see what's going on playoff wise. And I'll probably rank the teams Packers might be able to play and do stuff like that about just looking ahead to the postseason.
As always, you can find me on Twitter at GBridgefordNFL. With the NFL and fantasy season winding down, I will be taking not a break in terms of fantasy content. I'll probably still put out a few things here or there, but I am going to wind back the amount of work that I'm doing just because it has been a long, long season. And with all of the constant injuries and COVID stuff, it has been a little more difficult to come up with consistent stuff. But so I'll be taking a bit of a break. Still working on Nuggets content over at DenverStiffs.com, but you can find all of my work on my Twitter. That is the easiest way to find all of my stuff.
Sure, and you can find me on Twitter at Mike Wendland, all one word. As I'll take this time to quick celebrate my championship at the Packaday Fantasy League, so I'll enjoy that. But also, you can find all my work through Zaleski Sport. I'm currently a broadcaster doing a lot of high school games, doing a lot of hockey and basketball right now. So a lot of my stuff is through there doing. So also some recaps for a couple conferences in Wisconsin, how their teams are doing. And, of course, you can find all of us at Packaday Podcast, wherever podcasts are found, at Packaday Podcast on social media and on YouTube at the Packaday Podcast YouTube channel as well. So, again, thank you for joining us. It is week 18, as weird of a number as that sounds now in 2022. Final week of the regular season. Playoffs next week. 14 teams will remain. And we will go from there. So for Mark Eckel and for Gage Bridgeford, this is Mike Weiland saying so long, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the game. Stay warm, stay safe, carry the G, and go Pack, go.